Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. Look, I normally don't talk about internal Liberal Party manners in these podcasts and videos, but this week I think it is worthwhile just talking a little bit about our state conference, which was held on the weekend. It was a really watershed moment for the party. I think many of you would know that there's been a deal of contention about the way Liberal Party selects candidates and the influence of individuals on particularly our pre-selection process for candidates and more broadly the party. This weekend, the Liberal Party overwhelmingly, by a margin of 92% of all of the delegates from right across the state at the state conference, voted for a new way of selecting our candidates, and that is by plebiscites. And what it means by plebiscites is that every member of the party, so if you're a member of the party, every member of the party in their electorate where their branch is situated in will have the opportunity to vote for the candidate that they want to choose to represent them at the forthcoming election. That's both federal and state. And that means that we're broadening our pre-selection process. We have over 6,000 members in the Liberal Party. We are overwhelmingly the largest membership-based party, political party in the state. Though probably at the moment around 1,000 or so of those members do get to attend the different pre-selections. There are 59 lower house seats, for example, so they're spread out across those. Now around another 5,000 people will have the opportunity to participate in pre-selections. Why is that important? It's important because when you broaden pre-selections like that, you substantially reduce and I think in most cases eliminate the opportunity for any individual or any group to have an undue influence on that selection process. It also means that you're really going to get candidates that represent their local electorates because you've got a much broader membership input into that. So that's a huge change for the party and a huge opportunity, I think, going forward. And I might say, if you're not a member of the party, join up. Because now, if you join the Liberal Party, you can have the direct say in who's going to represent you at the next election and who, if they get elected, will represent you in Parliament. And I think that's a really wonderful thing, a major change for the party. And I think you would have seen that public commentators in the media really see this as one commentator put it as the first positive step for the party since our election loss in 2017. So I think it is as well. I think it is a huge step forward for the party. You know, we know that the next election, both state and federal, but particularly state, is not going to be easy. We know it's going to be an enormous challenge. I know that. But I'm really optimistic now that we've got a foundation that we can build upon to be a strong force at the next state election. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to having a good increase in the number of colleagues that I have sitting alongside me in state parliament. Look, on a less encouraging note, you would have all seen, I think, this week, the outcome of joint defamation actions. The Premier, Mark McGowan, had taken out a defamation action against Clive Palmer. That was in response to a defamation action that Mr. Palmer had taken out against the Premier. Now, I won't go into all of the details behind it, but in very short summary, the state government had altered a state agreement that Mr. Palmer was a party to. Mr. Palmer felt that he'd suffered considerable loss because of that. And Mr. Palmer was suing the state. There were allegations that the damages could add up to some billions of dollars. And quite appropriately, the Attorney General and the Labor government was defending that action. I mean, none of us wanted to see Clive Palmer take billions of dollars out of the taxpayers' pockets in Western Australia, and I certainly didn't want to see that. However, the thing that was really inappropriate was the way that the Premier behaved subsequent to that action by Mr. Palmer. He made really offensive personal comments about Mr. Palmer, and Mr. Palmer sued him for defamation because of that. Subsequently, the Premier then countersued Mr. Palmer. Now, you know, When you're the Premier of the state or when you're a Member of Parliament, I mean, people say things about me that I don't especially like, and in fact people say things about me that are certainly defamatory, untrue. But when you're a Member of Parliament and if you're the Premier of the state, people will say those things. But I tell you what, if I'm going to go and take action, if I was doing that, I would have to pay that out of my own pocket. But the Premier, because he was a minister, in his countersuit, was using your money. So on a vanity exercise or an ego exercise, he was using your money, and we don't know how much it is yet, but we will find out in the next little while when the costs of the case are revealed. But he used your taxpayers' money for that. Now, and I'll go to both sides of this. Ministers are allowed to use taxpayers' money to defend legal action against them, action that they've carried out in the conduct of their normal duty. But that principle is based around ministers behaving in a decent way. The way the Premier behaved was juvenile, but his behaviour gave a foundation and gave a basis for Mr. Palmer's action. And you can bet that it's many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, it'll be much more than that, I suspect, of your taxpayers' money was spent defending that action. But then for the Premier to go and use your money to countersue Mr. Palmer, I think is untenable. If he wanted to do that, let him put his hand in his own pocket. I think some of you may have seen the comments by the judge, but it was quite clear that the judge was disgusted by the whole episode. The judge clearly believed that the court case on both sides was a complete waste of the court's time. And he did make the point that the case that was being heard, including the Premier's counter-defamation action, were holding up really important cases that that court had to deal with. And he was quite scathing. Now, in the end, he found that both parties had defamed each other and then gave minor damage awards because he said they're both public figures. They should expect that sort of behaviour and expect that people will make those comments. It was very clear that the judge was disgusted. But I think all of those taxpayers in Western Australia have paid this. I mean, this is going to end up, you know, being well more than north of $1 million, you can bet, in terms of overall cost. Just imagine that. Tonight, in the freezing cold, rainy weather, we're going to have 1,000 people sleeping on the streets in the greater metropolitan area. And yet the Premier, because of his absolute intemperate and, as I say, juvenile language that he used about Mr. Palmer, and then because of his vanity exercise, you know, using your money to defend his bruised ego, that money is not available to go and help those people. And this is what we constantly see with this Labor government, wasting your money. No more so can I say than in the Landgate saga. I've obviously spoken about this in a little bit of detail, but I'll give you a very brief recap. Essentially, the government sold Landgate property. Landgate had two blocks of land, some buildings. They sold those for $17.3 million to a company that manages properties and develops land. An independent industry analyst has said that land, the property, the buildings and the land were worth over $100 million. They sold it for $17.3 million, but wait for it. On top of that, they then committed themselves, or committed you, the taxpayer, to pay $85 million in leases over the next 15 years. I mean, just imagine that. I mean, I think it's really fair for you to say that this is an $185 million debacle by this state government, a waste of your money. I mean, imagine the government owned the land, they owned the buildings, they sell them for a fraction of their value, and then they commit themselves to top market rent. And in fact, that $85 million will be an underestimate because the rent will have inflationary increases built into it. So at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, well over $100 million in rent. In fact, it'll be well north of that if you work out your normal inflation rate. So this week in Parliament, we're back in Parliament. We've had what's called the winter recess. And I think you'd know if you follow my Facebook that I haven't been sitting idly by during that. But now we're back in Parliament. This is our chance to get the answers out of the ministers. And look, we'll share that because There's a long history with this Labor Party now in 5 years. They don't answer questions, and they don't think they have to answer questions. They think that they are so ascendant, they think that they're so moral and right in everything that they do, that they don't have to be held accountable. And in fact, they get angry. And I think you've seen, I've put some footage out before about how they behave in Parliament, how the Premier behaves, and how some of his senior ministers behave in Parliament. They get angry when you ask them questions, but we'll be pursuing that. The other thing I'm really greatly encouraged by, and I have spoken about before, is the Auditor General is now also undertaking a major review of all asset sales over the last 10 years. Now, the Liberal Party sold very few assets, but this Labor Party has been selling assets as fast as they possibly could. And in a large number of cases, we believe the taxpayer has been massively ripped off with those deals. They've been very, very one-sided. They've been very one-sided for the parties that have bought the land. So looking forward to that. But as I say, we're pursuing this. We'll be pursuing this in Parliament. And I'll feed back the answers we get, or as I say, I expect we won't get. We'll just get some smug, arrogant avoidance of the questions in Parliament. Otherwise, look, thanks very much for listening to the podcast or the video this week. As always, really grateful for you doing that, and grateful for any feedback you have. You can get the podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher. So if you want to share it, please do. We have a steadily growing audience on this longer format, and really grateful if you get the message out to your friends, families, people who you think may be interested. Also, you can get the video on YouTube or on LinkedIn. If you just look up Dr. David Honey, you can get that. And again, just share it. Really great to get the message out to the broader community. Thank you.